Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on in our study to Quran chapter 9 and verse 49, where we'll learn about Muslims who do not go to war will go to hell. That is a great evidence about the importance of jihad and engaging in war in Islam. Imagine with me if I would tell you, if you do not fight, you spend eternity in hell. Who would like to spend eternity in hell? Except those who do not believe. But if you believe and you wanted to practice the teaching of your belief, then you save yourself from eternity in hell. And what is the great command of Quran chapter 9? The final words of Allah, it is for all Muslims to perform jihad, all Muslims to go and engage in war. And here is what is written in that verse. Quran 9:49 read as follows. And some of them who say, give me permission and do not seduce me, did they not fall into the sedition? And surely hell will encompass the infidels. Now, in our last broadcast, when we talked about sedition, we emphasized that Muhammad did not want to have any of his followers to cause sedition among the Muslim believers, which will cause some people not to stand up fully with Muhammad in his jihad, or causes revolt among the fighters. But in this verse, sedition here is different. And it will be shocking for you, as it was for many of the Muslim believers who did not know exactly what Allah meant by these words. Remember here, it says, and some of them who say, give me a permission and do not seduce me. These are some of the believers asking Muhammad for a permission, that is exemption, that they will not go and perform jihad or engage in war with the enemies. And why is that? Because they told Muhammad they don't want to be seduced. Seduced by what? Here is the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, as stated by Hajjaj, who told us about Ibn Jurayj, who told us that Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, said, a man by the name Al-Jidd ibn Qais, who said to Muhammad, give me permission and do not seduce me. And here is what the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri said. That man told Muhammad, you know that when I see these beautiful women, I could not be patient, because that is the sedition. Why is that? It's because, very simple, Muhammad gives him the good news, which is, come with me to invade Tabuk, so you will have the blonde women, the women of the Romans, as spoils. That is how Muhammad was entice his men and encourage them to invade with him these far, far away land. Remember now, these are not some armies who came to invade the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, who came to engage in war with Muhammad. No. It is backwards. It is Muhammad and his men who travel all the way from Saudi Arabia, all the way north for hundreds of miles to engage in war with the Romans, that he will be able to kill their men and take their beautiful, attractive women as spoils of war. And that's why that man by the name Al-Jadd ibn Qais told Muhammad, please do not seduce me with these women. So please exempt me from engaging in war or performing jihad with these beautiful women, because when I see them, I could not control myself. Wow. And we know from the interpretation of Ibn Kathir that Muhammad gave that man an exemption. And I wonder how many other men were exempt with that great moral excuse, which goes against the immorality of Allah and Muhammad. For Allah, the God of Muhammad, and Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, were immoral, enticing their men to go and perform jihad, to engage in war, that they may gain these beautiful, attractive women as concubines and slaves. Muhammad exempted that man from performing jihad with a deal. That is when Muhammad received money from him, which will help Muhammad to accomplish his goal to invade the Romans. Once again, according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Sayuti, he gave the same story once again, except there that he said Muhammad ordered his men to slaughter only the men, as for the women and the children to be taken as concubines and slaves. And that is the reason why Allah sent down on Muhammad, Quran chapter 9 and verse 49. Finally, the most important part of that verse, after the exemption which given to some Muslims, those who could not resist the temptation of these beautiful, attractive women of their enemies, is that Allah's word is very clear. Surely hell will encompass the infidels. So if you are a Muslim believer, you must follow Muhammad. If you are a Muslim believer, you must obey Muhammad. After all, Allah says throughout the Quran, obey Allah and His Messenger, and the command of Allah and the command of Muhammad for all Muslim believers is to perform jihad for the sake of Allah and to engage in war with the infidels. And if Muslims will not do so, they themselves become infidels, and that will lead them to spend eternity in hell. Let's move on to another important bold statement which we have before Quran chapter 9 and verse 57. For there we read, those who swear that they are Muslims and hide in caves rather than going in war are not with Muhammad. And here is what Allah said in that passage. If they find a place of refuge or caves or a doorway, they surely turn towards it and run to it, and some of them blame you in the alms. So if they are given from it, they are pleased. But if they are not given from it, behold, they are full of rage. And if they were pleased with that which Allah and His Messenger had given them and said, Allah is sufficient for us, Allah will bring to us out of His bounty and His Messenger, surely our desire is to Allah. What are we talking about here in this passage? It's very simple. Muslims are not called to be cowards. Muslim believers are not called to run away or to hide in any place, but they must perform jihad. They must engage in war along with Muhammad, because that is the command of Allah. And if not, then they are not true followers of Muhammad. In Islam, there is not there what we call lukewarm. You are a Muslim or you are not. You are a submitter or you are not. If you submit, you obey Allah and His Messenger. If not, then you are not a Muslim believer, but you are an infidel. Or, as we will see a little bit later, you are a hypocrite. What about the distribution of the alms? Here we see in this verse some problem between Muslim believers and Muhammad. Why? Because if Muhammad gives them from the alms, they're happy. And if he does not give them from the alms, they're very mad. This is exactly what Muslim scholars are sharing with us about this verse. Yes, Muhammad used to have a lot of money. He was the richest man known in his days in the Saudi Arabia Peninsula because of all the spoils which they gained from all these battles, especially the one he led in the last few years of his life. So now Muhammad used to give some of this alms to the people. And now we see that the people were not very happy because obviously they know they're not giving enough. They did not receive fair amount of these alms from Muhammad. That's why Allah said, some of them blame you in the alms because they're not getting enough. But then Allah is telling the Muslim believers and assure them again that Allah has plenty of bounty, as Allah taught them earlier in Quran chapter 9 and verse 28. Remember when we read there? Oh, you have believed? Surely only the polytheists are unclean, so do not let them come near the forbidden mosque after this their year. And if you afraid of coming to poverty, so Allah will enrich you from His bounty if He wills. What bounty we're talking about here? Once again, let me remind you, it is the money of the Jews and the Christians, or the property of others whom Muhammad and his companions will be annihilating from the face of the earth. And now we're talking about the distribution of the bounty of Allah, the money which Muhammad and his army gain from killing the infidels and from taking the jizya from the Jews and the Christians. So here Allah is telling them, you better change your attitude towards the money Muhammad is giving to you. All what you have to do is just simply say, Allah is sufficient for us. Allah will bring to us out of His bounty and His messenger. Surely our desire is to Allah. Just say, oh Allah, bless us with more of the money which we're going to gain out of the Jews and the Christians, those who will be paying the jizya to us out of hand and they are subdued, or bless us with more spoils as we continue to perform jihad for your sake, and we will gain these spoils of war out of the rest of the people who will not submit to Islam. What a savage cult. If Muslims just can simply read the words of Allah in the Quran, they can figure this out for themselves.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Now let us see what else Muhammad used to do with these alms. As we read in the bold statement before verse 60, alms can be used to bribe people to believe in Islam. Yes, indeed, my friends. Not only Muhammad used the sword to kill the infidels to force them to Islam, but also Muhammad used the alms to bribe some leaders to spread Islam. And believe me, none of these people were in need of that money. It is not a charity. You do not give few thousand dollars to somebody who have millions of dollars as charity. These people receive these alms because they were bribed by Muhammad for one purpose and one purpose only, that they may become Muslim believers. And because of their position as leaders among the tribes, they helped Muhammad tremendously as they led their tribes to become Muslims also. Even though only the leaders got the bribery of that money which Muhammad got out of the alms, not the rest of the people of their tribe. And here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 9 and verse 60. Surely alms are only to the poor and the needy and those who collect them and to those whose hearts are inclined, and for the next, that is ransom for slaves, and for the debtors and for the sake of Allah, and the Son of the Way, an ordinance from Allah, and Allah is knowing wise. I know the list of the people who receive the alms here is large, but I would like to concentrate with you on one of these categories, because you can look at money given to all these categories to be some type of charity. But I want us to concentrate on those whose hearts are inclined. And these are the people whom Muhammad bribed to bring to Islam. That is exactly the reason why Muhammad gave some of the alms to these leaders. And let me now share with you the interpretation of the great Muslim scholars Al-Tabari to this specific portion in Quran chapter 9 and verse 60. Al-Tabari stated, according to Muhammad ibn Sa'd, who stated that Sana'i ibn Abi said that Sana'i Umar said that Sana'i Abi and his father said that Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, said the following. Those whose hearts are inclined are the people like Abi Sufyan ibn Harb and Ayyina ibn Badr and Al-Aqra ibn Habis, and like them from the leaders of the tribes. As we read from Ibn Abbas, who said, those are the people who used to come to Muhammad, and the Messenger of Allah used to give them from the alms, and when he gave them from the alms and they took from it what is good, they said, this is a good religion. Imagine with me, because Muhammad was giving money from the alms to the leaders of these tribes, because of that they actually believe that Islam is a good religion. And if he will not give them from this money, they will insult Islam and they will say this is a bad religion, and that's when they leave Islam. Wow, this is exactly what I wrote in my bold statement. Muhammad was bribing the leaders of the tribes of his days by giving them some of the money of the alms. And that's how Muhammad gained more new believers from among the Arab tribes. And maybe someone will say, this is just a small gift Muhammad gave to some people, not a big deal. No, my friends. I want you to listen carefully to the number of people whom Muhammad blessed from the alms and how much he blessed each and every one of them. For example, according to Al-Tabari once again, who stated that Abd al-A'la said that Muhammad ibn Sur said that Muammar said that Yahya ibn Abi Kasir said that those whose hearts are inclined are, and listen carefully, I'm going to share with you the name of the tribe and the name of the leader of the tribe and how much he gained out of these alms. Here we go. From the tribe of Amiya, a man by the name Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and he only got 100 camels. And from the tribe of Makhzum, a man by the name Al-Haris ibn Hisham received 100 camels. And another man by the name Abdurrahman ibn Yarbua received 50 camels. As from the tribe of Jamh, a man by the name Safwan ibn Amiya, who received 100 camels. From the tribe of Amr, son of Lu'i, and Sahil ibn Amr, both received 100 camels. And Hutib ibn Abdul Aziz received 50 camels. As from the tribe of Asad ibn Abdul Aziz, Hakim ibn Hazam received 100 camels. From the tribe of Hashim, Sufyan ibn al-Haris ibn Abdul Muttalib received 100 camels. From the tribe of Fazara, Ayyina ibn Hassan ibn Badr received 100 camels. And from the tribe of Tamim, Al-Aqra ibn Habis received 100 camels. And from the tribe of Nasr, Malik ibn Auf received 100 camels. And from the tribe of Salim, Al-Abbas ibn Mardas received 100 camels. And from the tribe of Saqif, Al-Ala ibn Harisa also received 100 camels. Imagine with me the hundreds of camels which Muhammad gave to all these leaders of these tribes as bribery to lead them to accept Islam. And when they received these gifts, they loved Islam And they said, wow, that is a beautiful religion. And that's why they entered into that religion. So far, from the reading of Quran chapter 9, we discovered that many of the people were forced into Islam by the edge of the sword, as Muslims practice Quran chapter 9 verse 5, the verse of the sword, which Muhammad used to wipe out many of the small tribes of his days. And now we see in Quran chapter 9 verse 60 that Muhammad bribed the rest of the tribe's leaders. And when the tribe's leaders become Muslims, the rest of the tribes will follow their leadership and become Muslims. How in the world you can tell me Islam is a true religion spread with proof and evidence? What proof? What evidence? My friends, neither the sword nor the bribery can be true evidence that Islam is a religion from God. Obviously, this is the reality of what we read and what we learn from the Quran about how Islam spread throughout the Saudi Arabia Peninsula. It was by the edge of the sword and by briberies. Finally, let me share with you this very important fact. Camels do not grow up on trees, which means they have to be taken from somebody else. And that's exactly what Muhammad did, because he took all these camels as spoils of war from the Jews and the Christians and other people whom he attacked in the last 8 or 9 years of his life. Believe it or not, Muslims are still practicing bribery all over the world, and even here in America, in a way to show their victims that they are a loving and charitable people. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.